Karen Joy Fowler is the author of 6 novels, ranging from the bestseller The Jane Austen Book Club to fantasy and sci-fi. Fowler's latest novel draws on the argument she would have as a girl with her father, a psychology professor, over how closely connected humans and animals really are. Maureen Corrigan has a review of Fowler's new novel called We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves.
If you know Karen Joy Fowler's writing only from her clever 2004 bestseller, The Jane Austen Book Club, you're in for a shock. Fowler's new novel, We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves, is a different literary creature altogether. Still witty, but riskier emotionally and intellectually, and more indebted to Fowler's other books that toy with the sci-fi genre. In fact, all the time I was reading We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves, I kept thinking of Kazuo Ishiguro's 2005 novel, Never Let Me Go, a tragic scientific romance that deals with cloning. Both novels share a curiosity about the weird gray areas in our definition of what it means to be human, and both are saturated with despair. Fowler's novel is superb, but I've already warned a couple of sensitive animal lovers I know away from it. You should only read We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves if you're willing to be upset and probably permanently haunted. Our narrator here is named Rosemary Cook, and she's in college when the novel opens. As Rosemary tells us, she's learned to skip the beginning and start in the middle of her story. That's because if you heard the beginning right away, you'd get the wrong idea about one of her family members. Rosemary wants us to meet her parents, her twin sister Fern, and her older brother Lowell slowly in flashbacks. She's only reluctantly agreed to talk about her family because, as she ultimately admits, she's the only adult child of the family not currently in a cage. At this point, I have to divulge something crucial about Fern's identity that the book jacket hints at and Rosemary tells us about a quarter of the way into the story. What we readers come to suspect and what we're finally told is that Fern is a chimpanzee. Rosemary's father was a scientist studying animal behavior, and Rosemary and Fern were raised pretty much from birth to age 5 as twin sisters. Fern believed she was human, and as Rosemary says, the mirroring went both ways. The most charming and comical parts of Fowler's novel deal with Rosemary's memories of her early childhood as a part primate. Here's Rosemary's recollection of playing with her sister Fern on a long-ago snow day. "Mom warns me to stay upright, no loping through the snow on my hands and feet." Fern stuffs another handful of snow into her mouth, smacks her protuberant acrobatic lips, and turns to look up at me, eyes shining. Fern's eyes seem larger than human eyes, because the whites are not white, but an amber color. When I draw Fern's face, the crayon I use for her eyes is burnt sienna. Fern's own drawings are never finished, as she always eats the crayon. Fern disappears when Rosemary is 5, and we don't learn what happened to her until the end of the novel. What Rosemary does chronicle, however, is how her family was shattered by Fern's leave-taking. Her older brother Lowell grows up to be a militant animal rights activist wanted by the FBI. Her mother descends into depression. Her father drinks. Rosemary thinks she endured the worst fate of all. She was forced to deny part of her essential self, to just act human, starting in kindergarten, to refrain from biting and jumping on tables and desks when playing. All to no avail. The already formed tribe of human kids in school sensed Rosemary was different and shunned her and called her a monkey girl. Fowler's smart and exquisitely sad novel provokes us to think about a lot of aspects of our relationship to animals that most of us would rather ignore. It also delves into other questions like, do animals think? Can they empathize? Do they have long-term memories? Throughout her book, Fowler weaves in brief life histories of actual cross-fostered chimps, including that of the famous Washoe, the first chimp to learn American Sign Language. Fowler quotes the researcher who was Washoe's longtime human companion. Speaking of their close connection, he once said that Washoe taught him that in the phrase human being, the word being is much more important than the word human. If you think such blurring of the categories between animals and humans is sentimental bunk, or worse, blasphemy, Fowler's subversive novel dares you to think again.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Karen Joy Fowler's new novel, We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves. You can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air and on Tumblr at nprfreshair.tumblr.com. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our associate producer for online media is Nell Beschenstein. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.